Good evening, Rebecca.
Good evening, Karen.
This family of four who have been retained on Christmas Island, what's their story?
They're Tamil asylum seekers. So mum and dad arrived separately from respectively India and Sri Lanka 2012 and 2013, and then met in the Sydney community, the Tamil community, and married, moved to regional Australia and made a life for themselves, which is a very common story over here. Folks who come here seeking asylum, while they wait for that process to play out, it's very lengthy. It's not a particularly fair system legally either, so it does take a long time. And there's often the feeling that they're better off living in small towns. And so they went up to this little place called Biluela up in central Queensland and were there. And the mum's bridging visa had lapsed the day before they were taken in a dawn raid, so literally a matter of 5 hours. They were raided at 5 a.m. in the morning just as they were getting up and getting ready for work and dealing with their infant daughter and toddler.
And then they were set on a plane to be deported, but it got a last-minute reprieve. And reprieve, they were sent to Christmas Island. Not really a reprieve, is it?
Not really. They were held in the Melbourne detention. So they were, first of all, that's where I interviewed them first. They got taken from Queensland down to Melbourne, held in the Melbourne Immigration Detention Centre, local to me, and I interviewed them there. And then there was that attempt at deportation, which was failed before the plane even left the tarmac, but the plane still took off and was forced to land in Darwin. And from there, I know this is always hard explaining back to New Zealand what Christmas Island has to do with the Australian onshore detention system, but technically it is part, Christmas Island is part of Australia. It's a protectorate, and so what they have used that island for is as quite a notorious detention centre for many years, but it was actually shut and it had been shut by Prime Minister Morrison, but they decided to reopen a part of it and put that family there in 2019.
Gee, and the two little girls, they're just, you know, very small children, both born in Australia, and one of them got very, very seriously ill and had to be evacuated to a Perth hospital.
Yeah, and that's not the first time Tanaka's been ill, and that's probably the standout for me in reporting on this since 2018, is that the first story I did on her and her sister was about health concerns that were flagged as being very serious 6 months after their detention, and then nothing changed. And at the time, there was, and in the following 6 months, she had to have surgery on her mouth for a series of infections. Her baby teeth couldn't form properly because she had a massive vitamin D deficiency, and that was an outcome, as we understand it, from literally a lack of sunlight, because they were kept locked inside except for half an hour a day, which has a understandably catastrophic effect on an infant's ability to form baby teeth. Now, so she had all that surgery and medical intervention in Melbourne, and they still shifted them to Christmas Island, where the healthcare is rudimentary and no one's given birth on the island in 20 years. They all have to fly off to the mainland to even have a baby.
How is she now? Is she all right in hospital?
She's in a stable condition. You know, it was a relief that she got to the mainland and could get the care she needed. She'd been very sick with this blood infection, untreated pneumonia, for upwards of 10 days. You know, that's really dangerous.
Here's a little snippet, Rebecca, of the podcast you've made of your interview with Mother Priya. She's talking to Tanaka here.
You got some needles and you were very brave.
My hand is hurting.
You got some medicine?
Somebody get blood.
She talked about her birthday.
I want value for my birthday.
She talked about a cake she wanted that she'd seen a picture of. Some of her friends from Biloela had sent through a picture, and she was talking about that.
I am going to be four.
You are such a big girl now.
And that's her fourth birthday in Undergard, and, you know, effectively detained.
That's really hurting. I want my dad.
And Rebecca, good news today from the Federal Immigration Minister. Her dad and her sister are on their way to the hospital, or are they there now? Have they been reunited?
So they should be literally on their way to the hospital now. Their plane landed from Christmas Island early this evening. I just saw the footage of that, and they are being transported there. And the minister has announced that they will be housed in community detention while Tanaka receives the rest of the necessary medical care. There's a lot of questions about what community detention will mean for this family, because there's issues with that are very they're problematic. You know, it's not, it's still detention, essentially. So even though it's you don't have guards doing a bed check on you anymore, and the kids will have their own bed, and it's a far more normal life off of that island, it's still, they can't work, they can't study, they can't, the parents have to get permission for even the kids to have a sick day off, I'm being told this evening. I've got questions into the department asking a number of questions about what health providers the family will be forced to use, especially in light of the health issues they've been through for a sustained period.
I have a question here from a listener. Did the two Tamil asylum seekers, mother and father, being discussed arrive by illegal boat or more recognised transport?
I imagine that's a listener from Australia. So it's not an offence under the Migration Act to arrive in Australia without a visa. But in 2013, Scott Morrison ordered officials to start using the word illegal. And that's falsely describing people who arrive seeking asylum by sea. It's perfectly legal to do that. Priya and Adiz both came to Australia legally under international and Australian law, which gives you the right to seek asylum. I could go on at length, but you probably have other interviews to get to. But essentially, Australia, under then Immigration Minister Morrison, has done things in terms of those people that arrived by boat to make the process really difficult. There's a legal mechanism called lifting the bar, which has to be done by the minister, so that anybody that arrived by boat, they have to get that mechanism approved by the minister to have the right to apply for a visa. So it's an incredibly complex process. So using rhetoric, especially using the Australian government's rhetoric around illegals, is unnecessary.
So what's going to happen to them now? Now that hopefully Tanaka will get better, and where are they going to go?
So what I understand is that there's a bunch of, you know, across Australia there are these houses that they call community detention. It can be flats, it can be townhouses, any number of things. And they'll be accommodated in a house that's a part of a community detention facility. Much more than that, we don't know, because this has all moved at a very fast pace and the lawyers themselves are seeking clarification from the department right now.
And the immigration minister said just in the last few hours that allowing a Tamil family to stay in Australia would only encourage people smugglers. So this sounds like that eventually they will be deported.
I wouldn't go that far. I think that there's a lot of public support behind this family now. There's over half a million signatures to a petition asking for them to be resettled in the town that they had been living in. The family won a full federal court appeal in February, with the court upholding a ruling that the government's handling of Tanaka, who's the little girl who was airlifted 9 days ago, that her visa application had denied her procedural fairness. And the federal government has not appealed that ruling. And there's a brief before that same immigration minister you just mentioned to consider whether to lift the bar, as I previously mentioned, for Tanaka to make a visa application. So is far from over. It's really up to this government now to decide on how they manage the economic and reputational damage they're doing to their own government by continuing to treat this family like this.
Well, thanks for your reporting on it, Rebecca, and thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks, Karen.